take messy action and just get out there and try something.
Oh, how goes it? Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wild Business Growth Podcast. This is your place to hear from a new entrepreneur every single Wednesday morning who's turning wild ideas into wild growth. I'm your host, Max Brandstetter, founder and podcast producer at Max Podcasting. And you can email me at max@maxpodcasting.com to save time with your high-quality podcast. This is episode 199 Problems But an If Function Ain't One. I also went away from episode 200 special, and today's guest is Kat Norton, aka Miss Excel or Miss.Excel on social media. Miss Excel has absolutely blown up on social media, especially TikTok and Instagram, where she, of course, shares Excel tips and Excel tips to millions of viewers. She's also been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, The Morning Brew, and many other top outlets. And her life has drastically changed since she went all out on social media and Excel tips. In this episode, we talk where Miss Excel came about, how she got her mindset to even think of possibilities like this, her time living from Airbnb to Airbnb as a digital nomad, and an Excel tip or two or three or four or five or six or seven, because Kat knows Excel. It is Miss.Excel. Enjoy the show. Alrighty, we are here with the most excellent guest of all time, Miss Excel herself, Kat Norton, absolutely blown up in social media space and beyond, and your go-to person for any Excel tips and beyond. Kat, thanks, or Miss, whatever you prefer is your first name. Thanks so much for joining. Okay, Kat, thanks so much for joining. How are you doing today?
Doing amazing. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so excited to chat with you, and this is really, really crazy. I think my dad actually stumbled upon you in an article even before I came across you on social media, which is crazy. But I mean, obviously, you're getting more and more press, but you're someone who has taken an area of life in a computer program that I would say is pretty polarizing. People either love it and kind of geek out about it in the best way, or they were kind of like I was in college and took some courses on it and was like, wow, a lot of these things, I don't know if I'll ever use. And so I don't know like how much I'll actually end up using Excel. And obviously you've taken going all in on Excel to an extreme. So I think there's a million different places and a million different cells and VLOOKUPs and, you know, sort and equal sum and all sorts of areas to start. But to kick off, out of all the different computer programs in the world or areas to focus on, why Excel? What speaks to you about Excel?
Excel has really just always had my heart. I love the versatility of it, first off. There is just so much you can do with it. And there's so much, like, I don't want to say hidden in it because it really is all in plain sight, but it just has so many functionalities that people don't even think to use, which for me is really exciting because I've always loved to teach. And I just became really good with it and was able to then spin around and help other people learn these skills.
I kind of set this up for puns to begin with, but you literally use function and functionality like in that opener there. So you can't get away from it. But yeah, there's so many things inside it. What, from like a practicality standpoint, where firsthand have you seen Excel be like the most useful and most functional for at least in your experience?
I mean, it's really just depending on the person's job. I've seen it used all different ways in people's day-to-day. And the biggest thing is just really knowing how to leverage those aspects. So, for example, I see people, you know, manually summing things still and people not leveraging lookup functions and doing each one manually. When you slide in there with like a VLOOKUP or an XLOOKUP and someone's mind is blown, it just makes my day to help people with that stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. You have the Excel superpowers. But this, like, when you look at the big picture, And obviously, you're someone who is, in the grand scheme of things, like very, very early in your career. And so it's really cool what you've done already. But even so there, what do you think your younger self would say? Like, take back to like high school or college self. What would they say if you said, I'm going to grow up and teach people and dance to excel in the social media sphere?
My younger self would be like, no way, you're not. I actually grew up with so much anxiety. I was super shy growing up. So my old self would have been like, there is no way. But deep down, I knew that, you know, this is something I've always wanted to do, like combine different loves that I had, which was dancing, helping people, teaching, excel. It's kind of everything I've always loved. But I would have never thought I mentally could handle being on, you know, a digital stage, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think anybody exactly comes out of the womb was like, ah, Excel influencer. But that's awesome. So you mentioned two areas there you're passionate about, you know, besides Excel, but it ties all together. Dancing and helping people, not just helping, but helping people. So on the dancing front, is dance something that you had a serious passion about growing up?
I'm just always dancing around. I was never formally trained. I did actually a little bit of Irish step dancing in middle school, but that was the extent
I knew that. I just had a feeling.
No. It's something I've always just loved, like all the time I'm dancing around. So to be able to meld that, and I love music. I was on my high school radio station for 4 years and was always really passionate about music. So being able to merge all of that with something like Excel has been really fun.
Ooh, okay. That's a little teaser ahead to the TikTok stuff, because it makes sense with like the popular music songs, or as some people say, pop music songs. I know that was pretty crazy. Use the full word there. And then the other part is helping people. What, was there anything that you could, that like in your earlier life that you would detect and say, man, I really like spent a lot of time or effort like helping or teaching people?
Yeah. I mean, I was that weird student in like middle school where I would like build out this beautiful study guide and print out a copy for every person in the class. Like, that was me.
So you're the best classmate ever.
Yeah, very nerdy classmate. But yeah, I just always loved to help people and guide people. I always grew up wanting to be a teacher and kind of went down the business MBA route instead. But I still had a minor in education. So I was kind of just following both career paths until I had to pick and got swept up in the business school side. But I've just always been really passionate about teaching as well.
So let's get to the official Miss Excel story.
Ooh-hoo.
So let's start off. So when did you meet Mr. Excel? No, I'm just kidding. No, that was a terrible joke. That was awful. I'll take that out. I want to start kind of like before this officially started taking shape. So can you put us in your footsteps? Like what did your life look like? What were you doing when this idea started flowing in your head that of even like posting something consistently on social media?
Take you back to it was really around March of 2020 where I
a wonderful time.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's kind of when my life got pivoted off track a little bit. So before this, I was doing securitization reviews for banks at a consulting firm. So every week I would go to JFK and I would fly to a different state and I would perform a securitization review, write up a report and flip to a new client. And I was just kind of back to back to back traveling for 3.5 years. And I hadn't really taken the time to take a breath and be like, what do I love to do? I was kind of just chasing like, oh, I want to be a manager and just like pushing myself. And with the start of the pandemic, I found myself back in my childhood bedroom of my parents' house. And I hadn't moved out over like the 5 years I'd been in corporate because I had a ton of student debt. I was like, I'm only home on the weekends, really, so it doesn't make sense to pay Manhattan rent. But at this point, I was really back in my childhood bedroom. I was 27 years old. I was kind of like, what am I doing with my life right now? And I started diving into inner work and trying to really figure myself out and figure out what am I passionate about? What's my purpose? What's holding me back? You know, and really did a lot of work on myself and got myself to this place where I just knew something massive was coming. I didn't really know what it was yet. I remember writing down on a piece of paper, what do I love to do? And I wrote Excel, dancing, and helping people. And was like staring at this piece of paper like, what am I going to do with that? Like, what kind of job is that? And it was crazy. It was around June of 2020, early June. I was on the phone with one of my best friends and we were trying to think of side hustle ideas because at this point I'm like, I got extra time on my hands now that I'm not traveling. And I had this Excel skill set. So on the side of my day job, I was hosting Excel trainings internally at the company I worked for. And yeah, it was something I started right when I was a brand new little baby consultant. I was on the bench for a couple weeks and I started building out an Excel training for fun. And someone looked over my shoulder and was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, you know, people ask me Excel questions. I started keeping track. They were like, you need to show that to someone. And I presented it to managing directors. The company fully backed me. And next thing you know, I'm also flying around the US hosting Excel trainings. So that was something, just my little side passion project at work. So I was like, all right, what can I do now to take this skill set and help more people with it and really branch out? And my friend was like, what if you put it on TikTok? And I was like, TikTok, I'm 27, I have a corporate job, I'm not making a TikTok. You know, I didn't even have the app on my phone. But when she said it, it was so funny. It was like a lightning bolt hit me. I started glitching out. I was just like, oh my gosh, TikTok, what? And when she was saying it, I had the vision of the Excel screen above my head and me dancing below it to that Drake song, the Toosie slide, left foot up, right foot slide,
yeah,
to the left and the right function.
There's been at least one Drake album since then, probably, maybe multiple. It's been a lot of different renditions of Drake, Excel versions of that since then, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. And so I had this vision. And so I get off the phone with her and I was in this state of like turmoil for 2 days. My brain was like, you cannot make a TikTok, but my gut was just like, make the TikTok. And I'll never forget, it was like a Friday afternoon. My schedule magically clears and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to get an Excel screen above my head in a video. I never video edited before. I watched a 40-minute YouTube video on the easiest video editor I could find. It was called WeVideo. And I ended up testing it out and doing this dry run with the Drake song in the video and was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool. So after that, I like did my hair and makeup and banged out 10 videos that night. I was really hyped up, stayed up pretty late, made these 10 videos, and I didn't tell anybody what I was doing besides my mother and my boyfriend. I grabbed the Miss Excel handle. The next morning I woke up, it was like 6 a.m., I woke up my boyfriend. I was like, Mike. And he's like, what? It was like 6 a.m. I'm like, Miss Excel. And he's like, what? And I'm like, that's what I'm going to call it, Miss Excel. And I looked and the handles weren't taken. And it just like hit me like a lightning bolt. So then I started posting the videos secretly. Didn't tell any of my friends either. And by the fourth video, I was posting one a day. It reaches 100,000 views, gets pushed to all these people I knew. I was like, oh my gosh. And then by the sixth video, the CEO of an IT company reaches out and is like, hey, I love your teaching style. I'm looking to create G Suite training videos, so the Google version of everything I was doing, for students, parents, and teachers, because this is when all the schools were starting to go digital. So clearly I am a Microsoft gal, but I'm like, the products are similar. I could probably teach myself. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just do this. So I formed an LLC, bought a green screen, a ring light, and after my day job, I was filming these videos and selling them back to this guy. And at the same time, I'm like, I'll just keep making Miss Excel videos too, because it's helping a lot of people. It's starting to gain a little traction. I was having fun. So that summer, I was doing like 100-hour weeks trying to bust out the three things between the day job, the side hustle, and the Miss Excel. And I was having so much fun though. Like it didn't even feel like work to me. I'd like finish my day job and be like, hoo-hoo, gonna make my videos now. And I was just having a grand all the time. And then it was really by October of 2020. So a few months in, I ended up going viral like 3 weeks in on TikTok. A video hit like 3.7 million views. I looked down at my phone. I had 100,000 followers and was like, Oh boy, because if you saw my personal Instagram, I was not an influencer type at all and had no idea really what I was doing. So I added an Instagram account with Miss Excel and I just kept kind of creating content, whatever I really felt called to do. And by October, I was like, okay, I should probably have a course in Excel. Everyone's asking for one. So I ended up taking 2 weeks off from my day job on vacation. And so on vacation in my living room.
Vacation pronounced that way seems like it has a different connotation.
Yeah.
than vacation.
Yeah, it was a special type. I mapped out 100 videos and infused them with as much fun and creativity as I could. And then I filmed myself making the 100 videos and then edited every single one. Got that out within a couple weeks and started selling the course Black Friday of 2020. And then by January, so 2 months later, it was bringing in more in passive income from the course sales than my day job was every month. And at that point, I was like, okay, Miss Excel takes like 10 hours a week. My day job's taking like 40, 50. I gotta rethink my priorities here. And at the same time, I got that promotion at my day job to manager. Now, at this point, I was kind of freaking out because I'd always just given 110% at my day job. And with this new position, I needed to train myself. I had a lot to learn to become a manager. And I didn't want to wreck my reputation. I didn't want to like half-ass it. I was like, I want to, you know, like, keep up my brand, essentially. So it was funny. Around January, I decided to quit my day job. And it was honestly, it was very freeing. And it was one of my favorite days because it was pretty wild. Nobody really knew what I was doing. Some people had seen my TikToks and they were like, oh, cute. Like, she has a TikTok. And other people had no idea what I was doing, that I was making money, that I had built this business. And so I quit my job. It was mid-January. It was my birthday present to myself, my time back. And by February, I think it was February 1st, was my last day in corporate America. And then from there, I kind of just scaled the business.
Well, I have to, first of all, congrats on all that. Because all that within like under a year is totally unbelievable. And actually, as you said yourself, wild, which I also need to congratulate you for using the term wild on the Wild Business Growth podcast, hey. Which always, you know, is like the secret to me just, you know, droning on about a terrible question that takes forever to get out of my mouth. So thanks for that. But that's amazing. So like you literally, this clicked in your head pretty quick once you initially started thinking about it, once your friend had the reco to go on TikTok, which, you know, any good friend has that reco. and then you basically struck gold within the first like 4 to 6 posts of getting out there and getting a key introduction to somebody or somebody finding you. So this is like from day one, you know, quote unquote day one, this has been like a rocket ship, which is just really just an absolutely crazy ride. Back to like when you first put yourself out there, did you have any detractors or people that were like your friends or family that were like, oh, like what in the world is Kat doing like dancing to Excel on social media in public?
Oh yeah. You kind of always get the hate from people, or had people being like, you know, TikTok's about to get banned in the US, so good luck with that. And, you know, all these things. And, you know, there's classic, there's always haters on the internet too. But for me, the biggest thing was getting myself to a place where my self-confidence was where it would need to be before posting myself dancing on the internet to a left function. Because gotta say, most people do not wake up ready to do that. And for me, I just, anytime I get like hate, usually just rolls right off because I know myself so deeply and I know that's not my truth. And if anything ever does kind of like trigger me a little bit, and I'm like, ooh, they said that, that's an area I get to work on myself. And then I clear that out and just keep growing and learning through the process.
That's awesome. And we'll get to more mindset in a bit because I know it's a big focus for you and like really the secret sauce behind everything. So that's awesome. A little teaser there. But before that, I'm amazed by the body of work. Like you mentioned that you filmed like 10 videos in that first weekend, just back to back. And I imagine when you're starting off like that, like you do have that adrenaline, you do have that energy. So it's a good time to do that. And then when it came to making your course, like you did 100 videos. And so this is a like, I personally have never created a TikTok, but I'm familiar with it and watch and scroll through them. And everybody says, like, you know, to do it effectively, it can take way, way more time to actually make one than it appears. And for like the 3 to 5 seconds that someone's watching, it's pretty like crazy how imbalanced that is. What's the production slash like editing side look like for you on the back end? How have you been able to kind of hopefully get a little bit more efficient with this over time?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty wild. Like in a 15...
Nice, another one. Wow.
It is in You're my hooked. Typical vernacular over here.
No, yeah, it's... that's why I named this podcast that way.
Yeah, like normally for a 15-second video, it takes me about an hour to produce it from filming. I usually batch content, which definitely saves time. So I'll film, you know, 10 different dance videos with kind of an idea of what Excel trick's going to them. And then to edit each one would usually take me about an hour because I sit there with it and watch it over and over to make sure it's exactly the most efficient way of showing it. And then I test it on people. I'm like, hey, could you learn the trick? Because it's kind of this balance of getting it fast enough so you don't lose someone's attention, but making it slow enough where they can learn. And it's like kind of learning that fine line. But I have since hired the most incredible video editor as of like 2 weeks ago, which has been an incredible weight lifted off my shoulders in terms of how many hours I put in a week now.
That's why you have time for this interview. That's probably what made the difference. That's amazing, though. That's such a big weight lifted off. And I'm sure they're awesome. How about on the idea side? Because alluded to, like, and you know, like, there's literally college courses about it. Like, you can go very, very deep in Excel, so deep to the point that a lot of it I don't even remember, so I need to watch more of your videos. But how do you come up with, like, what's the right Excel function or Excel tip to showcase in each video? Because there's so much there, and a lot of it can also be boring depending on who you ask, like, at its basics level.
That's really where the magic happens, is finding ways to like bring the creativity into the Excel. So in terms of the Excel tips, I've been teaching for, you know, 5 years before I started this, teaching Excel at my day job. So I kind of knew like what areas people needed. And then by the time I started the accounts, I would get tons of questions every day. I get all these DMs of people asking me Excel questions. So I'm kind of able to pull from there and see really like what's trending. And also I had a whole Excel learning journey, you know? So for me, like I know, like when I look at something, I'm like, ooh, wow. And I get hyped about it. That's usually a good topic. But then the magic is really finding ways to meld it to trending songs and dance and things like Freeze Your Cells to Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice, or create a drop down menu to drop it like it's hot, you know, like that's
cold.
The fun part.
Well, that one's hot, but the Ice Ice Baby is cold.
Yeah.
I appreciate the puns and like the music puns with it. Or there's just like I think on the internet, there's like an acceptable level of corniness that is like very much beloved. Like people love it when you can do that right. On that note, how about songs? Because obviously, for anybody who's familiar with TikTok, songs are like a huge, huge part of it. And then depending on when you look at the app and time of the year and everything, like certain songs are just omnipresent, basically. How do you find what are the right songs for your videos?
So typically, I have a whole creative process. I'll block out, you know, usually a whole day to get into this creative flow state. And I'll have in my head, I jot down in a note in my phone different Excel tricks I want to use. And then I start going through on the apps, on TikTok and Instagram Reels, what songs are trending. So I'll spend, you know, an hour consuming content and just flipping through my For You page and seeing what songs are being played a lot. And then I go into like the sound button and I go through what songs are trending. And then as I'm in this creative flow state, my brain starts matching them to Excel tips. And then I write everything down. And like sometimes I just have a list of tips, a list of songs, and a list of both where they match up. And I kind of have my three lists going. And I keep adding in. I spend a couple hours doing this. And then I take a whole separate day to like film everything.
Yeah. You know, that's, I mean, batching is key, especially in your line of work that it like, I feel like it makes all the difference. Because it's kind of hard to be like in meetings or calls all day or like deep research all day and then, hey, let's just film a video and then, you know, back to everything else. Like, I totally get it. And there's so many songs to go through. When you look at your videos that in particular have spiked or like the first, you know, I think I've heard you mention every few months or so, there's like a video that you feel like really feels like it goes viral. Or, yeah. I mean, if you look at the numbers, it goes viral. What things do those videos that are like super duper popular have in common?
Yeah, so this is something I always have a great time kind of looking back on and being like, what works, what doesn't? And there's a few Excel tips that typically just always go viral. It's like, you know, the flash fill and like certain alt keys together and things like that.
You know, the flash fill and the alt keys. Everybody knows that's number one rule of social media.
Yeah, just gotta hit the flash on the alt keys. And for me too, just overall from a content perspective, having kind of a story behind it has really helped. So me hopping into characters where I play the boss, where I play the coworker, I play myself, and making sure that, you know, the dancing's on point, the song's on point, the editing's on point, everything like that. But it's really having those elements and then just overall from a social media perspective, having that element of healthy polarity to it really helps as well. So, for example, if I show one way how to do something in Excel, this is how my first video ever went viral. I did the combination of the left and find function. And all these people were flipping out that I didn't use text to columns or like other ways. And that created so much polarity when you show one way how to do something that it could have been other ways that causes conversation. Also combining things like dancing and Excel that aren't typically combined, yet are both things that I genuinely was passionate about, you know, that combining those created conversation. So it's really just about creating that conversation around the content, not just having like a boring Excel thing. And you're like, oh, I don't use that. Swipe, you know.
You should though. You could create an alternate account that just is like boring Miss Excel. Yeah. That'd be great. You mentioned that's a word I don't think I've heard before. Like polarity. You hear it with other. Can you expand on that in that context? Like what is this, you know, gold thing of polarity that you're striving for with your videos?
Kind of frame it as like a healthy level of polarity, because, you know, obviously it does have bad connotations too if something's like negatively polarizing. But for me, that's just the way to create conversation around these different things. So really, by combining Excel and dancing, those are two polar opposites, really, right? And when you put them both in one video and meld them together, whether people loved Excel, hated Excel, or were indifferent, didn't even use Excel, they were commenting on that video because they were like, what is this girl doing? You know, and that is what got me into the algorithm in the first place. A lot of it was people being like, what is going on? I've never seen this before. And that was something before I started posting these videos on TikTok, there was no one doing Excel on TikTok. Like I was skimming through, looking. And that's where I first had the hit too, where I'm like, oh, this doesn't really exist. And then the way that I do it really didn't exist. So that was kind of where I was able to hop in there and just kind of combine what I love to do.
When you can combine what you love to do, and you also see that there's an opportunity for it, that like literally no one else is doing it. That's like, I can feel like why from day one you've been so energized about this, because that's just an awesome mix of things, to put it eloquently. So looking back to things that have worked for you in terms of achieving virality and then turning it into an actual course and, you know, relationships with big companies and press and all, like kind of how your whole journey has blossomed like this. What advice do you have for any other aspiring creator out there who is really passionate about like a certain topic area, knows that they can help people with it, wants to get out there on social media? What would you say to them in order to help them achieve their goals?
Just do it. It is really nice. The messy
now, hopefully
action.
That's not trademarked by any major sporting goods company or anything.
No, but it's really the messy action that gets stuff done. I built everything using my iPhone and this dinky ring light that I had bought on Amazon. Like, you don't need fancy equipment. You don't need a studio. I created this business out of my 12x12 childhood bedroom. I pushed the furniture out of the way and started pumping out content. Like, there's so many ways to make excuses and to sit there and be like, oh, you know, if I had this equipment, I would do it. If I had this studio, I would do it. You know, if I had more time, more this, more that, like, the time is now and the time is always now. And once I got to that spot within myself where I was like, I just can't keep making excuses. I need to do what lights me up. That's where I took those first few steps and then all the other doors open up. So the biggest thing too is we can oftentimes not even see the steps that we need to take to get where you want to go ultimately. And for me, I just kind of held this higher vision for myself, and I was okay with not knowing how I'd get there. And then lo and behold, all the pieces kind of fell into place to help that happen. Like, for example, I could have never predicted by day 6 on TikTok that the CEO of an IT company would reach out and give me a side hustle, you know? Like, that's the type of stuff you can't really predict going into it. And kind of being okay with that unknown and just going for it anyway is where the magic really unfolds.
To quote Reebok, no, I'm just kidding. That's really, really good advice. And I think a lot of times if something's like brewing in your head, in your mind of like, ooh, this is something really, really cool I could share with the world and can unlock a lot of things for people. I think so much of that is like in that early prep stage of just building the confidence and courage of getting over the hump and actually getting out there and, you know, getting out in public. And obviously like vast majority of people aren't going to be able to like go viral in the early days and like have huge connections right away. Like most of the time it takes much longer. But the fact is like you're never going to have doors open like that if you're just kind of sitting on stuff and don't put it out into the world. So that's awesome advice. And then the other part of that, would kind of the next level of that from a business sense, is once you finally started to amass followers and build your community, how do you convert followers to paying customers to the point that this isn't just something like you're weirdly dancing in your bedroom with no financial payoff?
Yeah, I mean, I first off, I just really listened to my audience, and they wanted a course. They wanted a fun course that was actually entertainment. I call it Exceltainment. And ooh, so I took it as a challenge.
How did you think of that? No, I'm just kidding.
I took it as a challenge. I'm like, okay, how can I make this topic as fun as possible? And with all my courses, I've since built out 10 courses across all the Microsoft products. I have a Google Sheets course. And I kind of got into this routine with it where I sit with that outline and I make things as fun as possible. Like, I'm taking you out on field trips. I live out in Sedona now. I'm like taking you outside. We're looking at, you know, a hiking boots business. Here we are. Here's the data. You know, like, I created Wheel of Fortune for Wheel of Functions. Like, so Wheel of Functions. Nice. It was like this whole, you know, creative outlet for me to be able to make these courses. And for me, they're kind of my art form.
I'm a sucker for any pun, but
oh yeah.
The fact that puns are woven into every aspect of your business is, I mean, that's a form of art in itself. So,
oh yeah.
Have you ever been listening to a podcast and thought to yourself, this is something that might be a good fit for me? I feel like I could do that podcasting thing. Well, you definitely can, and you definitely should, as long as your heart's in it. And maybe audio is the right art form for you. Hit me up at maxandmaxpodcasting.com to help you get there and save time with that high-quality podcast. What you'll realize is podcasting is a ton of fun. It's incredibly rewarding. It's incredibly difficult to say incredibly rewarding because it just kind of all blends together. And it can open many, many doors for you and your business. But it is extremely time-consuming, and it takes a ton of time and effort. And I'll even throw in sacrifice to learn all the things that it takes to podcast and podcast efficiently and effectively. Thankfully, I know just a thing or two about those. So hit me up at max@maxpodcasting.com. Let's bring this baby to life. Now let's get more into the mind of Kat, because the Miss Excel story on the inner work side is maybe even more incredible than what you're seeing on the outside. So let's switch gears a little bit. Let's get to inspiration and creativity. So this is more you on the personal side and how you stay inspired, how you stay creative. And we've alluded to it, and I know just as prep for this interview that so much of what you attribute your success to and like your skyrocketing growth to is your inner work and your mindset and like how like mentally you've kind of done some exercises to get to this point that you've, you know, allowed yourself and visualized yourself to grow like this. So what would you say are, whether it's exercises or just like a way of thinking about things, like what has helped you to turn into the person you are today and kind of like the public figure on social media that you are today, compared to somebody who, as you mentioned to before, like did not treat your Instagram in a way like anything close to this beforehand?
There's so many different modalities you can use, but I think the biggest thing is really finding some form of inner work that helps you get to a better version of yourself every single day. So really going through and finding what resonates with you. I've done so many different modalities. And I mean, personally, what I've used, I started off with this program called To Be Magnetic, which is more of a structured way. I'm a Capricorn in astrology. I like my structure. And it's like a structured way to do the inner work and to work through and see what limiting beliefs you even have and then how to go in and reprogram those within your mind. I do a lot of yoga, meditation. I do Kundalini yoga. And for me too, I'm a very logical thinker and I needed to learn the science behind the law of attraction and the brain and how the mind works. And I literally study this stuff for fun because for me, it's all just like mind hacking and things like that. So for me, I had to read the science behind how this stuff works to actually get my brain on board. So I was like, oh, think positive. Good stuff will happen. Like, okay. And then I started reading, Dr. Joe Dispenza does a lot of work in this space, this book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. First 100 pages changed my life and just the way I looked at the world. And kind of just combining all those things, like I just started really stepping into this space where I was like, oh, I could create my own reality. And the only thing actually holding me back right now is me and my own limiting thoughts. Like, oh, you can't just go online and go viral. Like that was a limiting thought. I cleared that out, hopped online, blew up. You know, it's really, it's everyone. Like if I kept that limiting belief, I would not have gone viral. And like, that's the thing, like we all put up these walls in front of us to keep ourselves small, to keep our subconscious comfortable. But when we challenge that and clear that out, like, for example, I'm going to sound wild, but in
wow, wait, I've never heard that term before.
in April of 2020, so I didn't even have the idea for Miss Excel until June. This was just a couple months into all the inner work I was doing. I came out of my childhood bedroom. I'm in my parents' house and it's after dinner. I go out to my mom and I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be rich and famous soon. So I need you to prepare your nervous system for that. And she's like, Kathleen, go clean your room, you know? But
yeah, that's wild. I'll give it to you. You can say it again.
Yeah. It was so wild though, because I remembered believing it with every cell in my body. I was like, I gotta go tell my mom to like get her shit together because something huge is about to happen. I literally like left my room to go tell her that. And now within 2 years, I've since retired my mom. And it was this whole like, but I just, every cell in my body believed it before I did anything. So that's kind of how I was.
So that was before you even knew like the exact Miss Excel concept, right? So at that moment that you had this like, putting it in layman's terms, like you were super pumped up and confident and like excited for the future. Did you have any idea at the time, like how that would materialize, or just like this, like I'm going to make something happen?
Yeah, it was really this feeling that there are an infinite amount of ways that I can do it. And I got nothing to hold me back now. And like, it was in that moment where I was like, whoa, I can actually just go out there and create anything. Like, that's where, like, I was attempted to start 3 businesses right at the same time as Miss Excel. I was like on one. I like was building out like a drop shipping business to train myself how to do drop shipping. Was like starting, built out a little company there, and like all these things were happening at once. And then I was like, okay, like Miss Excel is lighting me up the most. But I was just in this mode where I was like, I'm unstoppable. I can do anything. What am I going to direct this attention to? You know, it was kind of like spinning around my childhood room, like, where's this going to go? What am I going to do? It was a wild point in time. I still look back, like knowing my old self and the way I grew up, which was absolutely not like this at all. And I'm like, I can't believe I did that still. Like, I can't believe I downloaded TikTok. I still barely know how to use TikTok. I edit everything off the apps. I like downloaded this app I'd never used. None of my friends were on it. I thought I was quote unquote too old for it. And next thing you know, I'm just posting myself dancing on the internet, like not a care in the world. And then everything just kind of spiraled.
I didn't know you were on TikTok, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Do you mind sharing what are some other businesses you considered? Because it's always interesting hearing like what routes people chose not to go down.
Yeah, I mean, the second biggest one that I had going was the drop shipping. So I was really looking. I was looking online and I was like, you know, they have all those like 16-year-olds making millions of dollars of drop shipping. And then I had this moment, I'm like, yo, if they can do that, there's no reason why I can't do that. So then I was like, I'll just teach myself. So I started watching a bunch of YouTube videos, learned the whole Shopify thing, built out it was called Radiation Armor. It was all about like blocking EMFs. And that was something I'm very passionate about, like health and wellness space too. So it was kind of merging that love for me. And at the same time, it was a lot of work, though. And at the same time, Mystic Cell was taken off. And I was like, okay, you know, this is, I'm digging the Excel route. I was going to do at first, too. My boyfriend and I, we had this company built to Excel, built in the number to Excel. And we were going to just have me doing corporate trainings, which I do as a part of Miss Excel now, but pitching that to his small business network because he worked in sales. He had this really like big network on LinkedIn. So I'm like, okay, like let's make a video of the two of us being like, hi, I'm Mike, I'm Kat, and this is built to Excel. And we literally, I remember like it was in like May, we're like walking around the block at my parents' house practicing our speech because this is before I realized there was a teleprompter app. And we memorized this whole like 1 minute video that we were going to post on his LinkedIn about me giving trainings to his clients and all this stuff. There are just so many different ideas floating in our heads of things we could be doing. But this one was the one that really stuck.
It stuck and you've excelled with it in a wild fashion. That's kind of what I would call the mindset bucket. And then another thing that I think is really, really cool about on the personal side and like away from work is that you've spent a good amount of time over the past couple of years as like a true digital nomad, like literally like living in Airbnbs and going in different places. First of all, like how would you characterize that lifestyle of literally like living in Airbnbs and not having like a permanent place that you're, you know, at for too long at a time?
It was really liberating. And I think it actually contributed a lot to the success Miss Excel found early on. Because for me, like from a manifestation perspective and what I was calling in and what I wanted my life to look like, I created this business, obviously, one, to help as many people as I can on the planet while I'm here. Number two, from just a personal perspective, I was like, I want to feel free. I was like, I want to feel geographically free. I want to feel financially free. I don't want to ever think about money again. I just want to live my life the way I want to live it. And a big part of that was the geographic freedom. So to be able to start living in that reality immediately and just embracing that lifestyle of, you know, having multiple homes in my head, you know, because I was just flipping houses and living that lifestyle right away while we could with everything the way the world was. And, you know, we were both remote from our day jobs, that really helped everything materialize so much faster. So we did about 16 months of living nomadically. So every month we would typically switch locations and our houses. So for example, we went to Sedona, Arizona. We spent a lot of time, which is where we currently just bought our dream house there. Then we did Austin, Texas, Hawaii, California, Miami, just really bouncing around different places. We're native New Yorkers. And we would spend about a month, like make friends, get to know a place, and then we'd pop back out. And a lot of times we'd revisit. Like we spent 9 or 10 of the months in Sedona, Arizona before we decided to plant roots.
Not a bad place to be. I mean, as far as like most beautiful places, it's okay. I mean, the Red Rocks, yeah, whatever. Those are really cool places that you checked out. What advice would you have for somebody who wants to have a lifestyle like that?
Again, gonna quote my Nike on this one. It's just do it if you can. Like if your day job and your current situation is structured in a way, just go for it. Like I remember I had come out of a meditation. I'm back in New York and I'm in my boyfriend's childhood bedroom right now. And this is where I did a meditation with my friends and I came out and I walked up to Mike and I was like, we don't have to be here right now. And he's like, what?
He's like, what? What
like,
planet?
Are you okay? Wait,
yeah, in what like, context?
I was like, we can be anywhere right now. And he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, let's go for a walk. And we went for a walk outside. And I was like, there is nothing stopping us right now from just like hopping on a plane and renting an Airbnb and like going anywhere in the world. Like, what do you say? And bless his heart, he's amazing. He just like goes with the flow. He's like, yeah, like let's go. So we booked an Airbnb in Sedona, which sounded so wild at the time. I remember like telling our parents, like Mike's dad's an accountant. He's like, oh, that's not financially a good idea. You know, you like paying rent on top of what you do. But we were just like, no, Sedona really lights us up. We kept seeing on social media. I'd never been there in my life, but I just felt so called to be there. And the second I got there, my nervous system just grounded down. And it's also, you know, an energy vortex. So a lot of people will physically put themselves there to launch products, launch businesses, because things happen really fast. And then I was kind of able to experiment throughout our time moving around, like how the business was doing, because most things I do are passive income at this point. So For example, with the course sales, I'd be in Sedona, things would be blasting off, and then I go back to my parents' house and it's much calmer. And then I go back to Sedona and like all these opportunities, like I've never reached out for press. I've never reached out for corporate deals. I've never reached out for any of the things that have propelled my business. They've all literally fallen on my lap because I energetically align myself there. And for me, like if that's the core of my business, you know, I'm like, I need to be in a place where I feel just so abundant and so alive and in a place where things will just flow to me and it keeps things really fun. So I ended up after spending like 10 months there back and forth, like I was crying on the beach in Hawaii that I missed Sedona. And I was like, that's messed up. Like that's when you know you really like a place, which is a great part about the experience. We actually learned what we like, what we don't like. We thought we would love living in Hawaii. We thought we would love living in, you know, Austin, but like nothing was like Sedona.
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody crying in Hawaii. I think that you're truly Sedona homesick, yeah. If that's the case. On the purely logistical side, now that you've experienced so many Airbnbs in so many different places, to you, like what one trait makes like a 5-star, just fantastic Airbnb?
I'm very picky. So I would be doing, I've searched and scoured the internet when it comes to Airbnb, like VRBO, like I, you know, before this, I traveled every week. So I was a big Marriott gal. So I would stock hotels. For me, biggest things are fast Wi-Fi. If you don't got fast Wi-Fi, I at one point had rented multiple houses because my first house that I had for the month had shitty Wi-Fi. So I literally had to rent a second Airbnb to work out of when I was in Scottsdale. Like, I was like, that is something super, super important if I can't run my business. And then also in the beginning, I only had TikToks on a tan colored wall. So I would literally find a wall color that would match my aesthetic in the house I was renting. That was another big part, really making sure the place is quiet. So I'm able to actually record, get stuff done, nothing on a busy road. And then for me, especially with Sedona, I needed the views. I needed the nature element. I needed that ability to ground down. And that was always my biggest. I was like, I want to walk outside my door and just be wowed by what I was looking at.
Did you know, by just because you brought them up, so I've always thought it's pronounced Marriott, and then at the NFL draft this year, they were like a presenting sponsor, and like Mike Greenberg and like the other, you know, like talking heads that were presenting it, like they had to have been told to say it this way. They said it every time, Marriott.
No.
And it like blew my mind. I was like, no way. I've never heard it until, and like we've asked like our parents and like family friends, like nobody has heard it ever pronounced that way until now. So I don't know if that's a rebrand or that's like truly the way, but there you go.
This might be my New York accent, the Marriott.
No, like- no. I'm from Cleveland. I mean, lived around New York for a while, but like I'm from the Midwest. I say the same thing. I think most people say Marriott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marriott. It's the Marriott mystery. So there you go. So you teach Excel knowledge and business building knowledge, and I teach questionable pronunciations of Marriott. All right, let's get to a segment called The Unusual. So this is a wild no, I couldn't resist. This is pet peeves, quirks, and weird talents. So we've already talked about some really, really cool and unique things and already, but this is, again, you as a person, it doesn't have to do anything with Miss Excel. What is your biggest pet peeve? Just like in general.
I'd say lately, for me, it's like watching people get in their own way is pretty tough for me right now. Like when I see someone like making those blocks for themselves that don't exist, and I just want to like I always just envision people standing on the edge of a pool, and the pool is like their destiny path, and they're just standing there, and they are like one pep talk away from finding their destiny, and that's where I try to slide in there, and I like push people in the metaphorical pool. That's my biggest is like when I see someone, oh, I can't do this because this, and I'm like, yes, you can. That's it.
Wait, where did Kat appear from? Yeah. That's and then you hand up your Nike business card with the slogan.
Yeah.
Perfect. What is a quirk, something a little quirky about your personality that your boyfriend, your family, friends, somebody calls you out for, but it's who you are. No reason to change it.
I'd say I'm pretty dorky and nerdy. I'm very not athletic as well, which is quite comical at times. Oh,
that's not going to help the Nike partnership.
Yeah, no, we're crossing we'll let the that Nike one slide. Partnership right there. Yeah, I'm like, really, like someone will throw a ball at me and it'll like hit me flat in the face before I'm catching that thing, you know.
Hey, you're just good. You're just catch it with your forehead. Yeah. Why not? What about, I guess this would be the flip side of that. weird talents. So like party tricks or just something that you're really good at that it doesn't impact your videos or like anything to do with your production process. You have a really good knack at blank.
So party tricks, the first two coming to mind that I've like whipped out at events was I could rap the full Busta Rhymes and whole thing of Look At Me Now. That really fast Busta
the
rap.
Like crazy fast part.
Yeah, I could do that. And also the Irish step dance I've whipped out at times, like when they start playing Shipping Out to Boston and people are like, what's going on? And I just start Irish step dancing.
All right, let's accelerate this to a very special rapid fire Q&A edition, an accelerated edition. Cool. These are all Excel themed and Excel tips. I hope you've been brushing up on I'm sure you know a thing or two about Excel. But all right, you ready for it?
Yeah, hit me with it.
All right, let's get wild. So this first one involves the Busta Rhymes verse from. No, I'm just kidding. No, so all right, let's get wild. What is your personal favorite Excel function of all time?
This is like asking me my favorite child, but I do have an answer. I would say the X lookup function.
Ooh, and what's the main difference between, is V lookup is a fairly popular one. What's X lookup?
So the V lookup stands for vertical lookup. There is also the less popular sibling, the H lookup, standing for horizontal lookup. And then in 2020, Microsoft rolled out the wonderful X lookup, which is incredible because one, it is much clearer and simpler to use. Two, it gets around the limitation of a V lookup, where you cannot look up anything to the left of your lookup column, which some people will whip out a little index match action if they're feeling fancy in those moments. But for me, really, the X lookup is like just clean and has all these extra things you could do with it too.
X stands for extra. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
What is, from what you've heard and just feedback and just overall talk, what is the most common misconception about Excel that holds people back?
It's really they're not using it to its full potential, and they'll sit down at their computer and feel like anxious or inadequate or nervous when they start using it. And that's really where I try to jump in and be like, but if you knew how to do a couple things, you know, then it becomes fun and you're a friend.
Perfect. I feel like, did we just enter one of your videos? That was great. And then what is the, besides X lookup, what would you say is like the most helpful function, or maybe it's the most commonly used one? You can take that either direction.
I would say the sum functions and the if functions really get me, especially a sum if, like, woo, you know, I'm a big fan of the conditional.
Wow, that's crazy talk. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, the if statements, like, I would say my brain works in if statements. Like, I've always been just so drawn to them, and like nested ifs and things, and we got the sum ifs, the count ifs, you know, all those.
As if. And then what is your, I know this is almost as hard as picking your favorite child, but what's your least favorite part of Excel? If you had to pick one.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm sorry.
I would say it would be like when you're getting those error messages, or like if you have like a ref issue where you like delete that one cell that was connected to all the other cells and you get the refs, or the spontaneous crash. The spontaneous crash is never a fun time, but that's why we got autosave, right?
Perfect. There's a fix for everything.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then last one, the grand finale. What is like an Excel Easter egg or like hidden game or something that you can share that's just a little bit fun?
Something I love that a lot of people don't use yet is the filter function. It's fairly new, and it's essentially like a lookup that gives you multiple results. But remember that it is a spill function, so you're going to want to lock in those values afterwards.
Perfect. Wow. The cup spilleth over with Excel knowledge. Thank you so much, Kat, Miss Excel. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your tips and amazing story, and just blown away by your growth and how much energy and creativity you put in everything. Really, really cool. Obviously, you are Miss Excel, but where are your favorite places for people to connect with you online or just in general?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Miss, M-I-S-S dot Excel, E-X-E-E-L. And I'm also on LinkedIn under Kat Norton, my name there. And I do have a Twitter, that's the Miss Excel, but I do not use it much yet, but TBD on that.
Could be. Yeah, TBD. It could be hashtag TBT as well. So there you go. You walked right into it. Awesome. And then last thing, final thoughts, stage is yours. It could be, you know, a Busta Rhymes rendition. It could be your favorite quote or a an audio version of a dance. Whatever you want, send us home here.
I would say if you're out there listening and there is a slight inkling in you to create something, build something, do something to break the mold of what you are in, take messy action and just get out there and try something. Because for me, that really is just what catapulted everything, is taking that first little step. It's the hardest one, but once you do it, you will thank yourself.
Thank yourself, you shall. And thank Kat, we will right now. Thank you so much, Kat, Miss Excel, Miss Dot Excel, for coming on the Wild Business Growth Podcast, sharing your incredible story, incredible transformation in the business world, and Excel tips and beyond. And thank you, Wild listeners, for tuning in to another episode. If you want to hear more wild stories like this one, make sure to follow the Wild Business Growth Podcast on your favorite app and tell a friend about the podcast. And while you're doing that, make sure to get prepped. Start pre-gaming, tailgating, do cartwheels, back hamstrings, whatever you want, backflips safely, for the next episode, which, if you're listening to these in order, is the episode 200 special. Get psyched. It is very, 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 very special. Times 200. You can also find us on Good Pods, where there are plenty of fantastic podcasts, podcast episodes, podcast people, podcast recommendations. And for any help with podcast production, you can learn more at maxpodcasting.com. Until next time, episode 200, let your business run wild.
Bring on the bongos!